Where do dinosaurs come from? Are dinosaurs mentioned in the Bible? If God made the dinosaurs, what happened to them? Did man and dinosaurs exist at the same time? I don't know about you, but generally I find that people have a great fascination with dinosaurs. That's going back as many years as I can remember. I found over the years that Christians sometimes have questions about these creatures, as do young people. We decided to take a few Sunday nights to talk about animals, and tonight that is the subject that we want to explore, dinosaurs. Let me begin by saying that no one has all the answers to the questions that we might be able to raise about dinosaurs. We do, though, know some things about dinosaurs. We also know that there is some information about dinosaurs which is incorrect, erroneous. Evolution, for example, is the idea. It is the claim that man eventually came along after millions and millions of years of evolution. Things changed, things evolved, and finally we got to where we are at the current state. If you listen to evolutionists talk, or if you go to a museum which has information about evolution, dinosaurs will probably fit somewhere into the discussion or the display. Humanity can look back quite a few years. But if we do that, if we go back in history, there are some things that we don't find. How many times in our lifetime, or how many times within the last few thousand years, can we point back to where scientists said we had this big batch of chemicals, and after we mixed these chemicals together, or after there was an explosion, or somehow after these chemicals were mixed together, there was life? Never happened. We can't point back to anything in our lifetime, anything within the last 2,000 or 2,000 or 3,000 years where that took place. Or we might ask it from a different perspective. Over the last 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years, how many creatures have evolved to a more complex form? Once again, people would say, well, you're not going back far enough. Nothing has evolved to a more complex form in the last 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 years. What we do find, as we start looking at our world, rather than evolve, we find that there is a decline. And it's a decline that we all recognize. Stars explode, meteorites and comets disintegrate. But those who hold to some form of evolution would tell us, you need to go back further. Not just thousands, not just tens of thousands, not just hundreds of thousands, but you need to go back literally millions of years, and then you'll understand how evolution worked. When dinosaurs are tied in with evolution, oftentimes the dates that are given go back from somewhere between 65 million and 230 million years. When you hear that, or if you go to a museum and you see that, have you ever thought about how long that is? Can you conceptualize a million years? I can't. And here are the people who say you don't have to go back just a million years or 2 million years or 3 million years or 10 million years or 20 million years. You've got to go back at least 60 million years and maybe more than 200 million years to see how we got from there to then. You talk about a miracle. Evolutionists, though, nod their heads and say, oh, this is how it was. And they are eager to tell people young and old about prehistoric times. If just we go back far enough, we're going to see the dinosaurs roaming the earth before man came along. Well, that theory's been checked. It's been looked at in a lot of different ways, and some things have been found. When we begin to find information or uncover information about dinosaurs, we don't find evolution. What we do find is extinction. If you look in the world, museums are good examples of this, and sometimes you can be out in certain areas, and you can find fossils. Our world is literally filled with fossils. We have fossils just all over the place. And evolutionary thought says that over these millions and millions of years, things evolved. You have the lower form of life, and it becomes more complex and more complex and more complex, and finally you get to man. If that's true, then that should be reflected by the fossil record. You should be able to find within those fossils the transitional fossils which say this was the lower form of life and it's moved to this stage and this stage and this stage and then you finally get to this stage, man. Those are transitional fossils. You've heard probably about the missing link. Well, there's not just a missing link. There are a lot of missing links. You see that transitional fossil record, it's simply not there. If it were there, evolutionists would be the first to stand up and say, look, we have these transitional fossils, and you can actually see how all this unfolded. But they say that happened. But they say that happened, and there is no evidence for it. The Bible has a lot to say about God and creation. And that's how it begins. In the Bible, we're told that God not only created man, but we're told when God created man. Tonight I'm only going to read one passage. And this, interestingly enough, I'm going to, as far as reading from the Bible, I've got some notes and I'll give you some of the verses later that way. But in Genesis chapter 19, verse 4, Jesus talks about man. He talks about creation. And Jesus, and this is in the context of marriage, as he talks about man and creation, he tells us when man came along. Was it after millions and millions and millions of years? This is what Jesus himself said, Matthew 19, 4. And he answered and said, "Have you not read that he who made them from the beginning." Now those are the Lord's words. The beginning. That's when man was on the earth. Whatever creatures God made, man was back there in the beginning with them. Dinosaurs did not exist on the earth, and then man came, as evolutionists often suggest, millions and millions and millions of years later. If evolution were true, the fossil record would show that, but that's not what we have. Man was from the beginning. The creatures that God made, including the dinosaurs, they also were in the beginning. Now, somebody says, well, okay, if you as a Christian are going to argue that men and dinosaurs coexisted, if they were on this planet at the same time, can you find anywhere in the Bible which specifically says that men and these great creatures were together? Can we find at least one verse which puts them in the same time period? Well, if we were going to look at this on our own, we probably would want to go back and think, what are the earliest Bible books? Let's go back and see some of the books or look at some of the books which talk about man in the early years and see, let's scour those books and see if we can find in those documents any information about man being present in those early days with great creatures. Well, what are the earliest books that we have? Someone might say the book of Genesis. That would be one book that we could look at. But it may not be the only book that we could look at. In addition to Genesis, what are the books in the Bible do we have that are descriptive of man very early? One of those books would be the book of Job. And tonight, that's where we draw out some attention and some information. Now, before we get to some information in Job, and again, I'm going to be reading from my notes rather than the scriptures. I put some information from the Bible into my notes. But before we get back to that, let me make this quick point. You may remember that when it comes to the book of Genesis, we have some information about a flood in the time of Noah. And when people start thinking and talking about dinosaurs, they say, "Now, wait a minute. If you think that dinosaurs were back there in the time of men, how could those dinosaurs have possibly been on the ark with Noah?" Well, let's make a couple of quick points. Does the Bible say that adult animals had to go onto the ark with Noah? No, it does not. It is possible that some of the animals were in a non-adult stage. It's also, as you look at dinosaurs, interesting that the people who have tried to categorize these great creatures have suggested, by and large, that the number of species was quite limited. It's been estimated that the number of species when it comes to dinosaurs was less than 50. Less than 50 species. Not every dinosaur had to be an adult when it was taken on the ark. And even if they were, the science that has looked at the ark still makes that very possible, not a difficulty to have even full-sized dinosaurs on the ark. Now turning to the book of Job. We have, towards the end of that book, in Job 40 and Job 41, some information about two very unusual creatures. The first is a creature by the name of Behemoth, Job 40, verses 15 through 24. After we get through with this unusual creature, we have in Job 41, information about another creature, a massive creature known as Leviathan. And Leviathan pretty much takes up the 41st chapter of Job, Job 41, verses 1 through 34. Scientists have looked at these two creatures. They've considered carefully the descriptions that are given in the book of Job, and they've tried to classify them. And as you look at the various attempts, some people have said, well, Behemoth must have been a hippopotamus. And that other great creature, Leviathan, they have suggested that it was a crocodile. If you read through the descriptions, though, and we're going to pay special attention to the description of Leviathan, hippos and crocs just don't match up very well. When it comes to dinosaurs, people have some very strong but preconceived ideas. And it is, at least in my judgment, those preconceived ideas which prevent many people, young and old, well-educated and poorly educated people, from coming to the truth when it comes to dinosaurs. I'm not hesitant to stand up tonight and tell you that there is a foreign concept. With many scientists, there is a mental block when it comes to dinosaurs. Evolution. The idea that dinosaurs were way back here and things continually progress to where you have all those supposedly transitional forms, you finally get to man. If you have that idea, then it is impossible to come, at least from a biblical perspective, to what God did when it comes to dinosaurs. You see, if the evolutionist exists that man and dinosaurs existed at the same time, their case begins to fall apart. They can't have it both ways. They've got to have dinosaurs way back there, and then those 60 or 100 or 200 plus million years go by, and then man comes along. If they don't have that, their system is in danger of collapse. But there is evidence, more than a little, in the Bible and outside the Bible, that dinosaurs and man were together. We've already heard from Matthew chapter 19, verse 4. But let me make this, before we dig into Job a little bit more, let me make this point. Do you remember some of the stories that maybe you read about in the early years, some of the stories that you may tell your children or grandchildren about dragons? You don't have to go back too far in human history to find some information about dragons. Those creatures were the creatures that men did battle with, ferocious, terrible battles. Have you ever noticed or thought about how the descriptions for dragons often resemble some information about dinosaurs? There's some amazing parallels between the two. Dinosaurs may have existed up until the not-so-distant past, maybe within the last couple hundred years, or 300 or 400 years. Now somebody says, well, now that's a radical thought. Why wouldn't scientists consider the possibility that those dragons, which are described in various types of literature, why not consider from a scientific standpoint whether those dragons may have been examples of dinosaurs? They can't consider that question because of their worldview. They can't consider that because, again, in their mindset, they have to say those dinosaurs were there back there millions and millions and millions of years ago, and things have eventually evolved, and lo and behold, man finally came. They cannot come to the conclusion that Jesus gave in Matthew 19, verse 4, that man was from the beginning. So this idea that dinosaurs and dragons might have been the same, they're just absolutely blinded to that possibility. When people close their minds, that can lead to error, and that's what we have in this case. Men and dinosaurs lived on the planet at the same time. We know that because we have a six-day creation period in the book of Genesis. Man was created during that time. Dinosaurs were also created during that same time frame. Somebody says, well, okay, if that's true, and we can understand biblically that line of thought, then where do these great creatures go? Of all the questions a well-educated person might ask, I find that to be the strangest. In our day and time, somebody comes along and says, if you believe in dinosaurs, that they were back there with men, what happened to them? Now, here's why I think that's such a strange, why I think that's such a bizarre question. If we look at our world, and we listen to some of the people who claim to be environmentalists, what do we hear from them? Do we not hear from them? We need to be concerned. There is this fish, there is this frog, there is this bird, there is this plant. If we don't act today, what's going to happen? It's going to disappear. Within our lifetime, this toad is going to disappear. Within our lifetime, this fish is going to disappear. Within our lifetime, this plant is going to disappear. That's what we hear from people. If a species can disappear within our lifetime, and that's what we're told on a daily basis, why couldn't that have happened in the past? That dinosaurs also died out within a very short period of time. We believe that when it comes to our time, something within a year, 5, 10, 50 years can go, such is also true with dinosaurs. Less than 150 years ago, on the Great Plains, there were more than 15 million buffalo. You can go to the Great Plains now, and you're not going to find them. Why? What happened to those millions and millions of creatures? They died out. Hunters came, and hunters significantly reduced or even eliminated the population. The Bible talks about a worldwide flood in the day of Genesis, in the time of Genesis, Genesis 6 and that area of Scripture. And there's evidence to show that there were great changes in the physical world after the flood. After the flood, some of those changes may not have been conducive for dinosaurs to have had the kind of lives that may have been less hospitable for them and other creatures. So the disappearance of these creatures is by no means surprising. I'd also, if you've never considered this, make this point. It is possible that the disappearance of dinosaurs is an act of divine providence. As we look at our world and we see the population expanding around the globe, can you imagine what our world would be like today if dinosaurs were roaming the earth? Can you imagine them in cities like Chicago or San Francisco? Can you imagine them in other cities like Houston, Texas? Something like a small alligator will terrify people. Can you imagine what a Tyrannosaurus would have done. Being attacked by a bear will put the fear of God into people. The disappearance of dinosaurs may have been an example of God's goodness. He knew how life on this planet would unfold, and a time would come where dinosaurs would not be helpful to us. Now, based on all this, somebody might say, well, now wait a minute. Brad, I thought you were going to, at some point, introduce a Bible verse or several verses which somehow connect men and dinosaurs. And did you forget about that? No, I didn't forget. The word dinosaur, as you go back and you look at it, it is a fairly recent word. It goes back to the 1800s, 1841, if my information is correct, and it comes from a British scientist. So this word is not all that old. And as you look at dinosaur, it is a word which is a compound word. The first part means terrible or wonderful. I'm not sure about the wonderful part, but anyway, the first part of the word means terrible or wonderful, and the second part of that word means lizard. Dinosaur is our word. It's not really a biblical word per se. But even though we have come up with that word within the last couple hundred years, we do have in the book of Job some information which sounds a lot like dinosaurs. Now, earlier I mentioned behemoth. And if you were to look at Job 40, verses 16 through 19, here's what you find. Lo now, his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the muscles of his belly. He moves his tail like a cedar, that is a cedar tree. The sinews of his thighs are knit together. His bones are as tubes of brass. His limbs are like bars of iron. He is chief. He is first in the ways of God. And then he hath made him, giveth him his sword. Chief in the ways of God stands out. Don't know exactly what that means, but that seems to suggest that this was the largest creature God had made, or one of the biggest. Whatever this creature was, whatever behemoth was, it was a very, very large animal. So that's interesting and consistent with what we would think of as a dinosaur. But then we have this other creature. After saying some things about behemoth, a creature that Job must have been familiar with because God references him in discussing things with Job, then we come in Job 41 to another creature which is known by Leviathan. And as you look at Leviathan, it sounds like this creature is not only large, but he's something like a fire-breathing dragon. For the sake of illustration, rather than trying to read this from the ASV and sort some things out, I've chosen to use a paraphrase tonight. And here's a paraphrase of Job 41, verse 12 and following. I want to emphasize Leviathan's limbs and its enormous strength and grateful form. Who can strip off its hide? And who can penetrate its double layer of armor? Who can pry open its jaws? For its teeth, God said, are terrible. Its scales are like rows of shields tightly sealed together. They are so close together that no air can get between them. Each scale sticks tight to the next. They interlock and cannot be penetrated. When it sneezes, it flashes light. Its eyes are like the red of dawn. Lightning leaps from its mouth. Flames of fire flash out. Its eyes are like the red of dawn. Verse 20. Smoke streams from its nostrils like steam from a pot heated over burning rushes. Its breath would kindle coals, for flames shoot from its mouth. 22. The tremendous strength in Leviathan's neck strikes terror wherever it goes. Its flesh is hard and firm. It cannot be penetrated. Its heart is hard as a rock, hard as a millstone. When it rises, God said, the mighty are afraid. They're gripped by terror. Verse 26, no sword can stop it. No spear, dart, or javelin. Iron is nothing but straw to that creature. And God said, bronze is like rotten wood. Arrows cannot make it flee. Stones shot from a sling are like bits of grass. Clubs, God said, are like a blade of grass. It laughs at the swish of javelins. Its belly is covered with scales as sharp as glass. It plows up the ground as it drags to the mud. Leviathan makes the water boil with its commotion. It stirs the depths like a pot of ointment. The water glistens in its wake, making the sea look white. 33 and 34. Nothing on the earth, God says, is its equal. No other creature so fearless. Of all the creatures, it is the proudest. It is, God says, the king of beasts. Who or what were these creatures in the book of Job? Leviathan and behemoth. I don't know. But I do know that as we think about the dinosaurs that did once roam this earth, the descriptions that we have in Job 40 and 41, they sound a lot like dinosaurs. Dinosaur, sea monster, fire-breathing dragon, the animals were terrifying. And Job, as we look at the book, had to be familiar with these creatures because God used them. If God was able to create the electric eel, able to create lightning bugs, able to create lightning bugs, could he have created dinosaurs? Yes. And he did. Isaiah. In another passage, Isaiah 30, verse 6, Isaiah talks about a flying serpent. What was that? I have no idea. And if you look in some translations, he not only says that there was a flying serpent, he says it was a fiery flying serpent. So that is another creature that, as we look at the Bible, a very strange creature, something surely that we don't have today. And then, if you've never considered this, how is Satan sometimes described? Remember, he is the great red dragon. Why refer to the devil in that kind of way if those creatures never existed or those creatures could not be recognized by man? Evolutionists cannot stand the thought that man and dinosaurs existed together. They can't have that because that begins to cause their model to crumble. Crumble quickly, crumble fully, and crumble badly. But man is here. The dinosaurs were here because they were both created by God. And one day, probably never see a dinosaur again, but one day we will see God, the God who created the dinosaurs. And he's going to be a lot more awesome and incredible than any dinosaur. Are we ready to meet him? The God who was able to create all the great things that we look about, he says he wants to meet us one day, and he will. But we want to make sure at that meeting that we're on the right side of him. We want to make sure that we have believed in him, the God who is able to create all things, the God who is able to sustain all things. And to be right with him, we looked to his word and we said, we want to do our best to live according to it. We confessed him as Lord, and that makes sense when we look at what's been created. We were joined to him by being baptized into Christ, and then seeking to do our best as far as walking faithfully with him day by day as we go through life. The great creator wants to be our friend. He wants to be our guide. He wants to be our God. And that's not just initially, but that's true throughout life. Tonight, the God who created the dinosaurs, are we one of his people? He's created us anew in Christ. We've been baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We're continuing to live in the right way. Those are the questions that we want to make sure that we say yes to as we stand and sing the selected song.